Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on KKZZ Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can hear me live Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock or streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of that sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, have a lot of shout-outs, a lot of emails, and a lot of comments from people knowing that today was going to be a big day in radio. First of all, a shout-out to Connie, Dora, Linda, and Bill all over at Townhouse Ventura. Thank you so much for being loyal listeners. Shout-out to Sandra, Jordan, Doug, and Randy listening to us up in Idaho. Big shout-out to Chip over at Gold Coast. Shout-out to Tim over at Reed's Appliance. And a big shout-out to Bill down in Naples, Florida. Thank you all so much for your kind emails and for being loyal listeners to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. As I said, every show has a theme, and today's theme is deep reflection. Each of my guests will discuss aspects of our life that require deep reflection right now. My first guest is a psychiatrist and professor at Harvard and UCLA Medical School. He reveals how environment, psychology, cultural forces profoundly affect our moods and our behavior. We'll discuss how seasonal factors affect our psychological lives from his latest book, The Emotional Calendar. My second guest is an internationally respected authority in economics, finance, and corporate leadership. He also understands politics, having campaigned twice for the Republican nomination for the presidency. We'll discuss the merits of capitalism and how it will save our economy. My third guest is a world-renowned motivational speaker. He has the rare ability to make the room a warmer, happier place simply by being in it. We'll discuss mid-course corrections to life and business plans 1 month into this new year, 2011. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. John Sharp, MD, is the Executive Medical Director at Bridges to Recovery. His latest book is titled The Emotional Calendar, Understanding Seasonal Influences and Milestones to Become Happier, More Fulfilled, and in Control of Your Life. John received his MD from Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons. He's on the faculty at Harvard Medical School and the David Geffen School of Medicine out here in Los Angeles. John's expertise is an integrated treatment that includes depression and bipolar disorder, anxiety disorders, attention deficit disorder, and addiction. Welcome to the show, John. How are you today?
I am fine. Thank you for that stunning introduction.
Well, the stunning introduction is nothing more than a recap of your life's history, which in and of itself is stunning, John. So thank you so much for being on the show. I love talking to industry thought leaders like yourself. And I like the book, The Emotional Calendar, because here we are, we're going into the dead of winter. And even though it's not so bad out here in Southern California compared to where you are in Boston, winter does have its effect on people. Now, I'm a big college basketball fan, and college basketball teams experience fatigue and malaise during mid-February. Coaches know this, and they train to change this change intensity in February to kind of lift their players up. In fact, environmental, psychological, also cultural forces affect all of our moods and behavior. So in what ways do each of us have individual emotional calendars, John?
Oh, man, you know, you said a lot right there that in basketball, people are training to persevere, you know, through the winter, because we all have our own emotional calendars, which I can talk to you about. And they're informed by all kinds of things, but mainly three big domains. One domain is physical factors like light and temperature, and to some extent humidity and wind, mainly light, though. The second big domain is man-made kind of cultural seasonalities, I call them, things like Thanksgiving, you know, or Christmas and Hanukkah, or New Year's, or the end of the NFL season, or the persistence of basketball season or Valentine's Day. You know, things that may or may not affect a given person. It just depends how much you kind of buy into it and in what way. And then the third big domain is kind of conditioning through experience. What I mean is you're remembering and really reliving things that you've been through in your life. You know, maybe you moved or someone moved away or died or you had a big accomplishment, you know, good or bad, something that's really affected you in the past that you're going to be reliving through your sensory associations in the same season this year too. So your emotional calendar is really colored by these three different domains and what is relevant in your life.
All right, and I get that. But tell me, John, why is it that some people are more affected by their emotional calendar than other people?
Oh, man, that's probably the best question of the day. I've been studying this, and it turns out that about 10, maybe 20% of the population has a kind of seasonal sensitivity, a kind of almost hypersensitivity. And it's not just to these weather-related factors. It also may be that these are the same people who perhaps suffer migraines or are affected a lot by emotion, who are more like neurotic, who feel like they've got to be in control. There are a number of different factors like that, neuroticism, locus of control, it's called, to some extent migraines, and sensitivity to things like light and wind and noise that some people have just a little bit more than they need of, and they're really affected more than the rest of us.
That is very interesting. And speaking of winds, John, you're flying out here to the West Coast shortly, but we've just had all kinds of strong winds in the area, and I've noticed that I have trouble sleeping in the high winds. So tell me a little bit about that, because I know that wind, if from your book, I know that wind has an effect on individuals, and you quoted some interesting statistic and factoids about that.
Yeah, you know, it's not just that you're afraid your house is going to fall down, right, because hopefully that's not the fear, but it's a kind of disruptive influence, you know, whether it's the Santa Anas or the wind coming across the prairie or, you know, in Europe there's a wind that comes down the Alps called the Fons, or in the Arabia there's a wind called the Shiraz coming across the desert. Persistent strong winds are disturbing. They're disturbing. I mean, unless you're a sailor, you know, but even if you're a sailor, you're going to be noticing the disturbance a wind can cause you very much so. So it's a factor. It's a factor in our mental stability. You can feel more edgy. You can feel more antsy. You can have a harder time sleeping. You can also be excited by the wind. You can get, you know, inspired in a way. But it's a disturbing force more than a calming force.
Well, one of the things I found interesting in your book, John, was that crime rates are impacted by the winds. You mind expanding on that a little bit?
You know, I wish I could tell you more than that is the fact. You know, the disturbance, I think, that the winds cause, you know, increases our unrest, and our sense of unrest, you know, can also lead people to, you know, take extreme actions, you know, to go ahead and even violate the law. So it isn't like, oh, wind, you know, violent crime. It's not that. The weather itself isn't related necessarily to any kind of spikes or anything that happened. You know, there's this terrible shooting in Tucson that wasn't related to desert conditions, you know, in beautiful Tucson. It's not that. But the wind itself is known to be disturbing.
Ah, wow. We're talking to Dr. John Sharp, everybody, MD. His latest book, The Emotional Calendar, Understanding Seasonal Influences and Milestones to Become Happier, More Fulfilled, and in Control of Your Life. And, John, something that many of my listeners have heard about before is affecting by the seasons, and it's called SAD, which is an acronym that stands for Seasonal Affective Disorder. And it's particularly prevalent in the winter. First of all, what is SAD, for those listeners who might not know? And is SAD confined to just the winter months alone?
Great question. So when people try to understand what I'm talking about in terms of the whole emotional calendar, that's actually the first question that people usually have. They say, well, are you talking about SAD? What is that exactly? So let me just explain, because it's really easy to understand. SAD, whether it's diagnosed or not, is basically you're reacting to the long winter nights and the relative lack of sunshine compared to the amount you get in the summertime. So if you're on the equator, there's no SAD, because the amount of sunlight you get in the summer and the winter is the same. But as you move up the latitudes or down, you're going to wind up noticing on some level the difference. Even if you don't really know it, you're likely to be a little bit more down, especially, you know, in the afternoon, a little less energetic, a little more maybe trouble getting enthusiastic about things. You can do it. You can get enthusiastic, but you got to make plans. You got to push yourself a little bit, get over that hump. Whereas in the summertime, you know, that light just kind of carries you through. So if you feel like a little down or a little trouble concentrating, getting motivated or getting psyched in the wintertime, and it's been happening year after year, the fix is to get a light box, 10,000 lux. And lux is a unit of light intensity, Bill, kind of like watts or volts. You know, lux is the unit of light intensity, and 10,000 lux is what you need in order to be able to fix the lack of light you're getting from the sun. So you get a light box, looks like a computer monitor. It can sit on your desk. You can, you know, listen to the radio or journal or, you know, take notes or look on the internet, whatever you want to be doing, while this light's shining on your face. And after about 20 or 30 minutes, you can put it away and walk off and do your thing. And after a week or two, you'll actually feel more like your normal summer self.
Oh, that's interesting. We're talking to Dr. John Sharp, everybody. And John, you mentioned in that answer about the different latitudes will affect you. The closer you are to the equator, the farther you are away. And the geographic thing makes sense to me. But I noticed in your book, it is primarily focused on the United States, North America. Do you find that there are cultural differences between countries in the way that people react emotionally to the seasons?
Oh, Bill, you know, I was going to say this, and I don't know how you read my mind right there, but that difference as you go up the latitudes and the increase in the prevalence, you know, in the amount of people suffering from SAD is in America. In Europe, you don't get the same correlation. And in fact, you can go to some countries like Iceland where the prevalence of seasonal affective disorder is less than in the state of Maine. So we don't know if it's a genetic resilience or if it's kind of some kind of cultural override. You know, I'm going to go next year to Tromsø, Norway, which is one of the highest cities. It's in the Arctic Circle, gateway to the Arctic. A lot of explorations take place out of Tromsø, Norway. And apparently, the sun never rises there between November 21st and January 21st. It looks like the moon. It comes up on the side of the horizon for a few hours, and it goes back down.
Ooh.
That's all you get. But in those polar nights in Tromsø, people are quite cheerful. They are determined to get together and light candles and to sort of overcome this. So, you know, it's interesting how different cultures have either a different kind of tradition or maybe even a different kind of genetics that allows for a greater amount of resilience.
Interesting. We're talking to Dr. John Sharp, everybody. And John, I'm just going to ask you point blank, is there such a thing as spring fever? Is spring fever real?
It is a real itch. It's a restive feeling. It's the same thing you had as a kid when you were looking out the windows and the bees were buzzing and you wanted just to get going. You didn't know what you wanted, but you wanted something, probably to go outside and run around. And we see this a lot. You know, somebody asked me the other day, kind of a funny, interesting question. If you could move a holiday like Valentine's Day out of where it is, would it be better off in the spring? And, you know, the underlying assumption in the question was perhaps it would be, because we'll all be feeling springy and can run around, you know, and enjoy the sunshine and the warmth like we can in California almost all the time. And I said, not necessarily a better idea to move it right in the middle of spring fever, because that's a time when we tend to feel like we ought to get going. You might dump the one you love just because you have that restive itch if Valentine's Day hits you right there. So I kind of like where it is in the calendar year.
Well, there you go. And you bring up a topic that really is worthy of discussion. So I want to explore this, John, with you, and that is holidays, because holidays have an impact on people. We've just come through the holiday season, that period from Thanksgiving to New Year's, and we're into, as I said, the winter lull right now. But what impact do holidays have? It's one of your three things, which is remembrances and milestones. What are the impacts of holidays on people's emotional calendar?
Well, I tell you what, you have to ask yourself that with a mindfulness of how it's been for yourself year after year. I don't mean to sound like some wishy-washy shrink here who's avoiding the question. You know, a lot of my peers get criticized for that. It's like, give me a straight answer. The straight answer is that I couldn't write like an emotional version of like the Farmer's Almanac, because it depends on what's in your heart. You know, what's happened to you in your life? How much do you buy into the different holidays? What do you like about them? What don't you? You know, what's stressful? What's good? And if you illuminate all of that, you'll have a much easier time, you know, taking control and feeling more fulfilled in your life. So just remember that we're both the protagonist in our life, and we're also the observer. You know, so if you can be more self-aware and appreciate how you're affected by the different holidays in advance, then you can steer a better course through them.
All right, and that sounds like good words of wisdom from Dr. John Sharp, who's the author of The Emotional Calendar. Give us some other tips. That was a great tip, but give us some other tips for recognizing seasonal disorders that you might have emotionally.
Yeah, well, let me just read you one quick quote from Yoko Ono, which is in the first chapter of the book, because it gives you a great sense, you know, as writers and artists can convey so well, of the themes and the seasons. She says, "Spring passes and one remembers one's innocence. Summer passes and one remembers one's exuberance. Autumn passes and one remembers one's reverence. And winter passes and one remembers one's perseverance."
Mm.
Really kind of says it all. So you can help yourself out a lot, as I try to explain the emotional calendar, by being aware of, you know, big themes in the seasons, things that more or less apply to all of us. Then ask yourself, to what extent does this actually apply to me? You know, then take a look at physical factors, kind of man-made holidays and other events, and then just what's happened in your life, and try to make more sense of how you're affected, how you're cued by your senses.
All right.
When you get cued by your senses, you're really taken back. You know, memories don't exist in time. They're timeless, right? When Proust had his famous Madeleine and all of a sudden was brought back to that feeling of childhood, he was reliving that feeling. He was transported. So songs and smells, you know, they're especially powerful. They transport us back. It's good to know what you're going to be triggered by. And the seasons are just about the right amount of time to understand. They're inherently organized, you know, 3 months long. Like a quarter, like a businessman would say, is the quarters the right amount of time to plan for. You can plan for your life in quarters in terms of the seasons, and their inherent organization will help you make sense of everything that's triggering you.
All right. That's words of wisdom from Dr. John Sharp. John, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, The Emotional Calendar?
Well, thank you. I want readers to understand that you can have a kind of seasonal embrace, and you can get more in touch with nature and how you're feeling and what's happened to you in your life in order to be able to feel like you're actually more in charge. You know, at first, these are all involuntary things, like you recognize what's happened to you. But I don't want people to be victims of circumstance, not even the circumstance of their life. I want people to be the ones who decide how it's going to be. So, for example, you can make plans right now for how you want February to go, and you can try to do something new, start a new tradition in your life. And if it's a positive thing and it worked out the way you hope, next year you're going to be reminded of that. So you can actually institute positive traditions in your life and, you know, really be the one who's making the decisions in terms of the best way for you to proceed throughout the seasons of the year.
Well, that's very sound advice, John Sharp, M.D. We've been talking to the author, John Sharp, M.D., the author of The Emotional Calendar, Understanding Seasonal Influences and Milestones, and Becoming Happier, More Fulfilled, and in Control of Your Life. John, thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
You have a great show. Enjoy it. Thank you.